Welcome to TBT, a movie podcast where we relive our childhoods through movies. I'm Olivia.
And I'm Miranda, and today we're going to be talking all about The Twilight Saga, New Moon. Ooh, spooky.
Yeah, so we did the original Twilight around November of last year when the movie came out. So we're doing them on their 10-year anniversaries, a little delayed, a couple months, but whatever. You know, yeah, honestly,
solid 2 month delay.
It takes a couple months to, like, get through this movie, so it's all right.
It also takes a couple months for us to, like, align our schedules at this point, but
yes,
it's okay.
We
try our best.
Yeah, you've never felt more like a full-time working adult until you, try to have a weekly podcast, and you're like, oh my God, where did all my time go?
Yeah, and I think the issue more so with us is the fact that, like, we have fully opposite schedules.
Totally.
Olivia works nights, and I work like a normal person, so,
So, like, if it's,
which
like,
is weird. All my friends work nights. It's very
really?
Strange.
Yeah. I mean, like, so I work 12.
No,
so
it's
I
not work... all my friends. It's you and Bailey, but still.
So I work 12s at, like, 3 12-hour shifts a week, but I like to pick up, but also, it's like, it's 36 hours, and I understand that it doesn't sound like it's that much, but, like, when I do, like, 3 in a row, I literally need to sleep for a full 24 hours. Like, that fourth day is, like, it's gone. So I'm still working, mm-hmm. you know. Like, I still, like, feel like I'm out of commission for 4 days a week, at least, minimum.
Yeah. Well, it's Thursday, and I, so far this week, have worked 36 hours, and I have to go back tomorrow, so.
Ugh, bummer. I'm sorry.
Very busy. Anyway, let's talk about the Twilight Saga New Moon, which came out on November 20th, 2009, which was a new moon. Today, not a new moon. I think almost a full moon today, but there was a lunar eclipse today, apparently, a partial lunar eclipse.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I don't know the pattern, and, like, CoStar told me, and, like, told me what it meant, but I couldn't tell you. Anyway.
So I actually have a moon phases print in my bathroom. That's, like, one of my... I have an interesting eccentric... You know better than anybody. I have interesting decorating.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I definitely... I have, like, it's in pink. Like, it's a pink, like, lunar phases calendar. And then it's in a rose gold mm-hmm. frame. Very cute. It's, like, so chic. One of my better choices, I would say. So I think moon phase decorations are a go for 2020, everyone, in case you were curious.
Yeah, so the celestial is, like, a big trend right now.
Totally. And, like, I think I got it before. I was in on it, like, before. Because before, like, everybody else got into it. So, like, I'm definitely a trendsetter.
Okay. So the running time of this movie is 2 hours and 10 minutes, which is too long. Watch this movie on 1.5 speed. Like I said, it's been a busy week, but we got through it. We did it. We're good. It happened. How did you feel about the running time, and why did you think it was too long? Because I know you think it was too long.
No, it was totally too long. I don't know where you would cut stuff out, but, like, also I wouldn't want this to be broken up into two separate movies.
Ugh.
I don't know. I had to watch it in, like, 4 different sequences.
I feel like maybe you ended at a different point. I didn't like the ending of this movie. It's so abrupt and just, like, boom, over.
But I think that's how the book ended, though. I think, like, honestly,
no,
that
it definitely is
where
but
that happened. Yeah, I think we
just
could have
because
combined,
it happened,
like,
in the book doesn't mean we have to do it again.
Yeah, I don't feel like we needed Eclipse to be two movies. Like, I feel like we could have combined New
Eclipse
Moon and Eclipse.
Two movies.
Oh, Breaking Dawn is two movies.
Yeah.
I feel like we could have combined in different spots, but, like, I don't know. I guess that if you're trying to be, parallel to the book, I guess you had to have it be this long. And, like, don't get me wrong, like, the Harry Potter movies are long as shit, but, like, no one cares. Like, I'll watch them. I'll watch a 4-hour Harry Potter movie on ABC Family or Freeform with the commercials where it's 6 hours long and, like, not have a complaint about it. So,
I
don't know.
I won't do that.
I just can't,
I can't relate,
like,
to that.
2 hours straight of Kristen Stewart just, like, makes my head explode.
Yeah.
Honestly.
One of the things about watching this at 1.5 speed, her movements are even more jerky than normal. Mm-hmm. So it's worse. It's definitely a worse experience, but, like, having that 30 minutes of my life back is not a worse experience, if that
makes
sense.
Yeah, I feel like Kristen Stewart's, like, acting style is, like, always detoxing. Like, I feel like she's, like detoxing on, like, drugs. Like, as someone who works with people who detox on drugs, it's, like, I feel like she's always, like, coming off of, like, meth, which, like, not to say that she's, like, having, like, psychosis or anything, but she has these, like, weird jerky movements, and she's always, like, her eyes are so sunken in and so, like, tired. It's like, this girl needs some caffeine, at least. Give her Diet Coke.
I haven't watched her in anything in quite a while, I will say. So, like, I don't know if she's still like this or what. But anyway, it's a little strange. So, now that we're, like, talking about Kristen Stewart, let's rewind back to the director here. This was directed by Chris Weitz, who did not direct the first one. It was, like, a switch. You know, it got successful. So, they were like, let's give it to a dude.
Backed out. Okay, yeah, I can't remember who it was, but she backed out.
They still didn't offer it to another woman.
Oh, no. Well, no, that's because no, of course not. We're lucky Harvey Weinstein didn't make this movie, okay?
Okay. He only did, Spy Kids, everyone.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
God, that movie is so good, much and it's worse. So upsetting.
Which is so much worse. Like, these are at least adults. Like, that's so much worse.
Are they, though? Okay, so Chris Weitz is known for his art About a Boy, which he was a writer on in 2002, Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, which he was a writer on in 2016, The Golden Compass, writer 2007, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith, which he acted on in 2005.
Yeah, which, like, I don't feel like there were other people in Mr. and Mrs. Smith except for Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie.
No, there weren't.
I don't think he had, like, a real acting part, like, to be completely honest. I'm sure he was just, like, a neighbor. But, like, real hits and misses in his known for. It's like, I feel like this is a really weird, like, collage of information that we're getting here.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Star Wars, and then, like, I don't know what the Golden Compass is, and then, like,
I do. I remember Twilight. The Golden Compass. That was another book to movie. It was very similar to Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Oh, interesting.
It was that kind of, like, fantasy,
yeah,
children's vibe. Yeah. So we already talked about Kristen Stewart, but we're moving on to the starring / known for section. However, we've already talked about all of these people, so we don't want to talk about them again.
Yeah, just a couple updates, really.
Yeah.
When going through trivia, I found a couple interesting tidbits I thought would be, like, added to these people. But, people we've already talked about are Kristen Stewart, Robert Pattinson, and Taylor Lautner. So interesting thing about Taylor Lautner is he had to wear lifts in his shoes to appear significantly taller than Kristen Stewart in this movie, which I think is hilarious. Like, I don't know why. I don't know, because I don't feel like she's that tall to begin with. So it's like, I imagine Taylor Lautner to be like Tom Cruise. Like, he's wearing, like, giant, like, I don't know, moon shoes or something.
Yeah. The thing with Taylor Lautner as Jacob Black is he just needed to, like, get so much bigger, and he put on all of that muscle, but, like, needed to get height-wise bigger as well.
But, like, you can't control,
I don't remember Jacob in the first movie being significantly, like, being particularly taller than her.
No, I don't think so at all. I think, that probably added to it in the first movie, but, like, in the second movie, it was like, we need him to just, like, be massive, you know?
Yeah, it's like, it's a plot reason. It's not just, like, his vanity on wanting to look taller.
No, but, like, I imagine it to be both, so.
Yeah. We also talked about Anna Kendrick, who plays Jessica, and Nikki Reed, who plays Rosalie. Fun fact here that's new about Nikki Reed is that she had to wear a wig in New Moon, which you can tell. Like, it's fine.
Yeah, it's almost like I just finished the last, like, I watched, like, rewatched, like, the last, like, 5 minutes of the, or 10 minutes of the movie just now. And, like, Rosalie's actually in it, and, like, her wig is, like, askew. Like, it looks like, or, like, her bang, like, covers her face in, like, this weird angle. Like, it was just, like, they
and
were
the
shooting, and they were, like,
is bad.
Yeah, it's, like, very yellow, but, like, also, which, like, the hair colors in this movie in general are weird, but, like, it's, like, very much askew, and it looked like they were filming it, and she, like, scratched it, and it went sideways, and they were, like, just keep going, we got this, and, like, left it.
Yeah. And that was because of the severe damage after the 36-hour dye process from the first movie.
Because, as we know, Nikki Reed is a natural brunette, which she has beautiful natural brunette hair.
Do we know that? Sure.
I mean, like, the only other thing
you're
Nikki
so
Reed,
confident in, as
I mean,
we
like,
know.
I think, like, if you, like, Google Nikki Reed, she has brunette hair. But also, like,
she looks like Ian Somerhalder, but, like, a girl.
Exactly, totally. But I feel like Nikki Reed was, like, done so dirty in these movies. Like, I feel like they were, like, all right, Nikki, your turn, and, like, just, like, dumped whatever else they had left, you know? Like, I don't know. Yeah. I just feel like they don't do her justice.
Which, yeah, like, speaking of people that they don't do justice.
Oh, my God. They never do. We also talked about Kellen Lutz, who plays Emmett, and Elizabeth Reeser, who was Esme. Okay, so just a quick... So these two people are in this movie. Again, maybe 5 minutes. So I think we're just going to, like...
They stand out so much, though. Yeah,
but that's on purpose, you know? Like, I didn't like, look into facts and figures and stuff for them because...
No, it's fine.
I think we'll just mention to have more significant parts in later movies.
These, like, very famous prestige actors that were actually in Twilight, which is shocking.
Anything you read on them, like, I've read, like, facts just going through, and it was like, oh, this girl only did it because she wanted to get to know Kristen Stewart better, because she thought she was going to be in, like, an award-winning movie with her, like, what their next project they thought was going to do a lot better. And, like, Michael Sheen only did it because his... So Dakota Fanning was Jane, and then Michael Sheen is Arrow. So Michael Sheen only did it because his daughter wanted him to. I'm just like, What kind of acting power must you have to be like, oh, my kid wants me to be in this movie, so yeah, I'm going to do it. Like,
I mean, Michael Sheen's a big deal. But if you don't remember who Arrow and Jane are, they are two of the members of the Volturi who are, like, the extra evil vampires mm-hmm. that live in Italy. So mm-hmm. if you're like... Who the heck is Jane? We're not watching Tarzan. She's a member of the Volturi.
Yes.
Dakota Fanning, my main sort of thing that I noticed about her, I was like, oh my god, her face is so symmetrical. Like, never have I ever seen a more symmetrical face.
She looks lovely in this movie.
It's something about, like, her eye makeup is done so well. Like, she looks amazing.
Because I don't, like, love Dakota Fanning. Like, I've never really, like, been a huge fan. But in this movie, when you're watching her, you're like, wow, she looks fantastic. She looks much older, which I think is supposed to be that way. But, like not older.
Yeah, she's, like, 4 billion years old.
Well, and she looks like she's maybe 20 versus, like, I don't know, 15 or 16 is what she actually was. Mm-hmm. But she looks, like, very severe and very, like, she looks like a model. She looks fantastic.
Yeah. She looks like a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Totally.
Which is weird because, like, the vampires, the Cullens look, I think the difference has to be because the Volturi, like, they drink human blood, and the Cullens drink, like, animal blood. So the Volturi are much, like, healthier looking than the Cullens, who all look like they're dying. But, yeah. That's
I don't feel like they're supposed to look like that.
No, they do, though. They all look like they're dying, and their skin is, like, so sallow. Anyway, we'll move on to the box office here. So, it had a $51 million budget, which I just listened to our Twilight episode that we did yesterday. So I remember saying something like the Twilight budget, I think, was like $35 million. So it's definitely a step up, but not as much of a step up as you would have thought it would be, considering how successful the first movie was.
Yeah.
And this movie was also super successful. It made $274 million worldwide in its opening weekend. It's not Cats. It's not making $275 million or $275. I messed this up both times.
My goodness.
That I did that. And then worldwide it made $711 million.
Yeah.
No
which
big
is
deal.
Crazy. Like, I don't know.
$750 million.
I feel like the reason why the budget was low is, like, I assume that most of these people had
contracts
through, like, at least, like, the first two movies.
Yeah. I don't know what the budget was for Eclipse, but, yeah.
I don't know.
And
I'm
there
interested.
Weren't, like, a ton of crazy special effects that were much better. Like, they still were terrible. So, mm-hmm. yeah. Summit was literally just, like... It's raking in money.
Yeah, I'm very interested to see, or maybe they had, like, back-end deals or something like that, but I'm very interested to see, like, where the budget jumps, like, if and when the budget jumps on these movies.
Yeah, if and when. I feel like for at least Breaking Dawn Part 2, there was, like, that big fight sequence that seemed like it was expensive.
Yeah, the, like, flashback one. Oh, God, that was so annoying.
The flash forward that, like, didn't end up happening.
Yeah, the thing that didn't actually end up happening that you're just, like...
That everyone in the theater was, like, freaking out about.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, that's fucked up, but whatever.
Yeah. So, do you want to start with the trivia, or should I?
Sure. Okay, so New Moon was greenlit the day after Twilight opened in theaters, which, like, isn't surprising when it has, like, opening weekend numbers like it was. And also, for how it big is, the book was, I think it's not surprising.
It's a little surprising to me, knowing, like, how much buzz there was around these movies. Like, I remember there just being, like, everyone was so excited. So maybe that was just me being, like, 13, 14 years old, like, getting very excited for these Twilight movies. But I think everyone was very excited about them.
Yeah, I mean, like, do you think that it would have been, like, greenlit before, or...
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying is surprised. Oh. I thought it would have been, like, greenlit further
ahead. I mean, I didn't think they were going to be, like, shot concurrently, like, say, like, The Lord of the Rings or something like that. But, like, I don't know. It's the same way with, like, Harry Potter, even though with, like, the success of the books and stuff like that, I think they definitely, as, like these production companies and stuff, don't want to okay anything until, mm-hmm. like, they know it's going to have some kind of success.
Well, yeah, I mean, until the tickets sold on, like, Twilight, I don't think Summit had much money. Like, I think literally this was, like, a round of funding for Summit Entertainment that made them, like, $650 million. Because before Twilight, if you look, I don't think they really made any movies that had much financial success. So, looking at this, it's like, oh, this made it so that, like, they now had cash on hand,
they're, like, and were able to like greenlight capital which they probably couldn't, like, financially greenlight it until isn't Summit pretty big? I don't know if I'm confusing it
it's
with
big
another.
Now
Summit does, no, but Summit did, like, documentaries, right?
Yeah, it was definitely it was big, sort of indie, smaller, more art house documentary, I believe, before that. Before Twilight, and then Twilight kind of blew it out of the water and made it sort of a major player. Definitely not, like, a big one.
No, not, like, a Paramount or anything like that, but still.
It's not Warner Brothers, but, like,
I mean, it's not Disney, but let's be real. No. I mean, could we imagine
Disney would never.
A Disney New Moon. Like, oh my god, it'd be so bad.
Oh my god.
We'd have, like, Tom Hanks' Arrow. Like, it would be so weird.
I mean, that would have made it better, but
it would have been so good, but you'd be like, is that Tom Hanks in this movie right now? Like, what the hell? Very
strange. It would have been included in his Golden Globes award montage.
Oh my god. It would have been amazing. Oh, yeah. I love him. He's such a gem. Thank god.
He's great.
Thank the world for Tom Hanks.
Yes. So the American premiere, which was on November 16th, 2009, as we said before, I actually mentioned this fun fact before, but they scheduled the premiere on an actual new moon.
Yeah, which I think is cute.
It is cute. It's, you know, maybe if we had a little bit more foresight, we would have done that, but we didn't, so
yeah, we
I don't
had
really
more,
care.
Yeah, no, I don't either. We're just trying to get this shit out there, right?
You know, look, we're trying to make literally anything work, so.
Yeah. Okay, so because of the dramatic physical, and we kind of mentioned this before, because of the dramatic physical change demanded for the character of Jacob, producers heavily doubted Taylor Lautner's ability to bulk up for the role in time for shooting.
He was, also, like, 18.
Yeah, because he was a child, and, like, you can't, like, ask someone to do that. Well, like, you can, but, you know, there is, like, hormones involved. They considered recasting the role with Michael Copen, considered the front runner, but Lautner was able to gain over 30 pounds of muscle in time. So if you're wondering who Michael Copen is, you might remember him from Bring It On, In It to Win It, or a couple episodes of That's a Raven. Don't worry, he still worked in 2009, just not on this movie. He was in Dark House, Night of the Demons, 21 episodes of Beyond the Break, and an episode of CSI Miami, and I think the highlight of his entire IMDb, he was in an Erika Jayne music video, which is, I mean, who's doing better, really?
Literally everyone, but, you know,
yeah,
it's fine.
You know, I just was like, oh, yikes, probably should have gotten a better agent or something.
Probably. Speaking of good agents.
Yeah.
Anna Kendrick improvised the entire story when Bella and Jessica leave the movie theater and are talking about, like, zombie movies. She has this sort of little monologue that she gives while Bella is thinking about just, like, an entirely different world, where she says, I don't know why you want to sit through all these zombies eating people and no Hawkeye's kissing anybody. It's gross. Like, why are there that many zombie movies anyway? It's supposed to draw a parallel about leprosy. My cousin had leprosy. It's not funny, you know?
Okay, so I, like, immediately am calling bullshit on that. Like, I don't feel like leprosy is a, first of all, modern-day issue, and second, an actual issue at all in modern Washington. Like, I just don't, I don't believe her. I don't believe you, Jessica.
I wonder if he had something else that, like, started with an L and she was just confused. Like, maybe he had, like lupus or something.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, because, like, if I was in a discussion with someone, even if I wasn't paying attention, if someone was like, oh, yeah, my cousin had leprosy, I don't care what I would be thinking about. I'd be like, wait, what? Like, you know someone? You know someone in 2009 who has leprosy? I thought we, like, eradicated that one, like, way long time ago. Like, we don't even get vaccines for leprosy because it's so not existent in our lives.
Yeah, I don't
even
really know what it is, but I don't want you to explain it to me.
I mean, you don't want to. It's not good. I mean,
I don't want you to explain it to me.
It's basically worse than, like, shingles or chicken pox. It's, like, a much worse issue.
I will go through my life just not knowing what it is, and I'm fine with that. I think the real interesting thing here is, like, the sort of commentary about, like, what people are looking for in movies, because Twilight, not critically acclaimed, if you will. So I think that that's the interesting thing here, is, like, her talking about zombie movies when this is a vampire movie. So,
yeah, exactly. No, totally.
Eating people.
I appreciate it. I appreciated the, like, okay, so it's, we're going to talk about zombies. Yeah. Yeah. So in the drowning scene, director Chris Weitz originally wanted Chris...
It might be Weitz. Are we sure it's not Weitz?
Weitz? I don't know. Weitz?
I went to high school with a kid who, like, had that last name and it was Weitz, but this one might be Weitz. I feel like I've heard Weitz. I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like Weitz sounds familiar, but I don't know. I'm sorry. Director Chris originally wanted Kristen Stewart to have weights in her pockets to make her sink to the bottom of the pool that they were shooting it in. However, she said absolutely not, and feeling that this was too dangerous, and prompted Chris to demonstrate himself. So she was like, hey, basically, I'm not going to do this. How about you show me what you're talking about here, because this sounds very scary. And after sinking to the bottom, Chris became scared and pulled off the weights and conceded to Stewart's point, which I think is hilarious. And, you know, probably the one funny thing Kristen Stewart's ever done.
Yeah, I feel like Kristen Stewart's probably that girl who had, like, a big interest in the Salem witch trials, and she was like, no, like, I know all about this.
Wait, what?
That's what they would do in, like, the Salem witch trials, you know, they'd put rocks in your pockets, and if you floated, okay, then you were a witch, if you didn't, then you weren't a witch, but, like, it didn't matter because you were dead.
I mean, I also, like, think that... I'll give it to her for, like, standing up for herself in this situation, because she's young and, like, also probably not, like, I know she wasn't, like, a really well-known actress, so it's, like, I don't know. It's an interesting that she, like, stood up for herself and was like, nah. Also.
Yeah, how about no?
No one think, like, I feel like Kristen Stewart might not be a very good swimmer, so, like, probably... Because for me, this wouldn't scare me, like, seeing putting weight, like, because I know, like, I'm a decent swimmer, so this wouldn't scare me at all. But, like, if I was a terrible swimmer, like, having something that's going to make you sink faster is definitely going to be very scary.
Yeah. So, the Italian scenes set in Volterra, which is an actual town, they were filmed in a different town called Montepulciano over a period of 4 days. The color red was deliberately kept out of the color palette or heavily muted in, like, the entire movie, just so that it would be super striking once we got to, like, these Volturi scenes. And they even, like, kept it out of the first movie, but, like, not on purpose. So, yeah, I will say, like, the sort of color balance on this one, I feel like, is much more normal than the other one.
So, I did not go to... So one of the things Noelle and I wanted to do while we were in, we went to Italy, and we went to, like, Tuscany and all that. We did not go to, let me figure out what the hell the name of this place was. It was Volterra? Something. Okay, so we didn't go to Volterra, but we went to, I feel like it wasn't, Montepulciano, but it was, like, somewhere very close to there. Mm-hmm. And it was so cool. Like, it's very beautiful. Like, I highly recommend it, going to places like these. Like, they're so gorgeous. The scenery is fantastic. I would be, like, I will do anything to be able to, like, film there. And, like, only 4 days. That would suck. But, like, it's also super crowded all the time. But, yeah. So, I'm... be aware that they probably won't be standing in a few years due to the tourism, but they're really cool. So yeah. Just cool. Gonna like brag for a second.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, look at me, I'm Olivia. I've been to Italy.
Oh yeah, just once.
Okay, so cool. We're gonna to our plug section, so you know it's yeah. This is your cue to skip 30 seconds ahead. Go to tbtamp.com for everything you need to know about the show. From there, you'll also find a link to our Redbubble store where you can buy stuff to support our show. Charity Starts at Home. We are your home. I was wondering. Okay.
Sorry. Yeah, I don't know where this one was copied from. Okay, so, and if you're listening to this podcast, scroll to the bottom of the Apple Podcast app and give us 5 stars. It's really that easy. If you love us even more, you can go the extra mile and leave us a review.
Yes. Be sure to talk about our podcast to literally anyone that will listen. That includes friends, parents, work colleagues, the person in the bathroom stall next to you, on Facebook, anyone. Spread the word of TBTAMP like you would Jesus Christ, or like you would if you're Jacob that this girl died when she didn't actually die.
Wait, what?
Remember when he was on the phone and Edward called and asking for Charlie?
Yeah.
And he's like... he's on his way to the funeral. Or like, what did he say? I don't even remember. But
yeah,
like,
no,
ugh,
he was like,
idiot.
Yeah, he's planning it. He's not here. He's planning a funeral. I'm like, oh my God. But also like, Edward, how fucking dumb are you? Like, that was a pretty dumb thing to do in general. Also.
I mean, he was, wasn't he planning that other guy's funeral, but just not Bella's funeral. And Edward thought it was Bella's funeral. So he wasn't technically lying, but like, you may as well have been.
Aww,
no?
So
is that not a thing? I thought
Sorry.
Someone else died.
Wait, what'd you say?
What?
Sorry.
Are you just not listening?
I was looking at the reviews. I was looking at our reviews.
Oh, okay.
And we got some new ones.
Yeah, you can hear what I said when you re-listen after.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so I guess from October, I don't know why it took so long to get it. I think, like, there's, like, an approval process for some sort.
I don't know what. And, like, the order that they pop up in is so strange. I don't know.
Yeah.
Olivia's so, talking about a podcast review.
Yeah. So, because I know the last time I checked was definitely like after October, but like what we have one in here from October that I guess came up, but we have, it's a 5-star review. It says, love, I love listening to this podcast on my car ride home and sometimes on lunch breaks. You guys make me laugh and make me reminisce about all my favorite childhood memories. Thank you. Everyone needs to hear this podcast. And that is from KeyRan143. Thank you so much.
So that's so nice. I love your review.
I know. It's so cute. Okay. Also, if you have anything you want to share or comment with us about the show, you can email us at tbtamp@gmail.com or slide into our DMs on Instagram at tbtpodcast. You can follow my personal Instagram at liv.blonde with an E. So liv.blonde, live blonde.
God, I say this every time I miss mac and cheese.
I have to figure out a way to like say it better. I just haven't thought about it. I don't know.
Live without an E, blonde with an E.
Oh, that's good. All right. Okay.
Just came up with that right now. My Instagram and Twitter is at Miranda Johnson, MirandaJohnzon.
Wonderful.
That's a fun one because sometimes now when I have to actually spell my name out for people, I almost say Z.
Oh, that would be awkward.
Yeah.
Like, oh no, wait, that's my handle. It's my bad.
Yeah. Okay, so do you want to start with the plot or should I?
You can start.
Cool. Okay. So Bella jolts awake from a dream of herself as an elderly woman after having grown old with her immortally 17-year-old vampire boyfriend, Edward Cullen. It is her 18th birthday and she is pouting because Edward won't make her a vampire. Her old friend, Jacob Black, interrupts the most awkward kiss between Bella and Edward, truly so uncomfortable. They're in the school parking lot because of course they are. And Jacob gives her a dream catcher as a birthday gift, which feels a little stereotypically Native American, but I'll move on. he's noticeably larger than the first movie and has considerably wider teeth than a normal person. He also is still wearing the wig, unfortunately. But don't worry. That's changes soon.
Just wait.
Just you wait. You have a note here, Olivia. I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had finished. You haven't finished.
I did. I did finish.
Oh, okay.
What are you doing?
I don't know. I'm sorry. So I feel like Bella and Edward's kiss in the school parking lot, like, really sets the tone for how, like, weird and creepily awkward this movie is going to be, because, like, that's honestly, like, if I had to describe this movie in two words, it would be creepily awkward.
Yeah. I think this one is definitely the most creepy and awkward of the four movies, five, because I feel like this one, they should be less awkward because they know each other at this point. The first one, it's kind of normal that they're awkward because they don't know each other. But this one, it's like, you guys know it. Like, what are you doing? I also don't understand. They reference in this first scene, like, the sort of Cullen siblings come up because they literally are only there in, like, the very beginning and, like, the very end. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, Bella references Jasper, like, trying to control her mood, or maybe actually controlling her mood. And it's like, based on the rules that we have, that shouldn't work.
I don't know if it's just, like, certain people. I don't know. I have no idea. But, yeah,
I think it's everyone's vampire powers, because Alice can't see Bella either. Like, she has to see Bella by seeing Victoria, I think.
Yeah, but she is able to see, in the end, she's able to see Bella as a vampire.
Yeah, but I think she's seeing it's only, that like, in through Edward's with eyes. Someone else. I think she sees other people.
I don't know. I think maybe she notices, like, other people calming down or something like that. Maybe it's, like, I can tell that everyone else around me is getting
I think more he's just out. Creepily looking at her, and she thinks
Yeah, and she's like, what are you trying to do? Yeah. Jacob's teeth were so white, I just assumed they were veneers. And, like, this really just brings me to a quick insert of one of my favorite shows in the entire world, Vanderpump Rules, and how white I noticed Jax Taylor's teeth were on Watch What Happens Live last night. And as soon as I said out loud, wow, his teeth are so white, he's like, hey, Andy, I think I'm going to get veneers. And I'm like, what the hell? What is wrong with you? So, yeah, that's Hollywood, everyone. When you have perfect teeth, you're like, fuck it, take them all out, put in dentures. Why not? Andy's like, I'm going to tell you why you shouldn't do that on the break. All right. So while watching Romeo and Juliet in class, like the, like, 1930s version, Edward explains to Bella that he is sometimes jealous of humans' ability to commit suicide. Something that is actually fairly difficult for vampires to do. He later tells her about the Volturi, the vampire community's governing family, kind of like their queen and, you know, like their, their royal family. That strictly enforces their law of secrecy with the guaranteed punishment of death if their secret is revealed. That evening, the Cullen family hosts a small party for Bella's birthday. However, she cuts herself while unwrapping a gift, and the scent of her blood triggers Jasper to attack. What? Like, how fucking stupid can you possibly be? Okay, anyway.
You know, the whole thing could have been avoided if they just gave it to her in a bag.
Yeah. This girl could cut herself opening an envelope, literally. Yeah. So
That's like one of her main character traits. It's like, you know, I'm beautiful, fancy. I'm smart, but, like, I'm clumsy, and that's a flaw.
Ugh. But, like, whatever. The family is able to restrain him. How is she alive at this point? Like, if this bitch cuts herself, and there was, like, a lot of blood, considering how, like, it was a paper cut, and she's, like, bleeding out.
No, it was a paper cut, but then they threw her against the wall, and she crashes into picture frames.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I was gonna say, I'm like, Okay, I just remember the blood. Okay. Anyway, the family is able to restrain him, but Edward is completely distraught over the incident. He refuses to change her into a vampire because he believes doing so will damn her soul to hell, and they share another painfully awkward kiss before he drops her off at home. Okay, is it just me, or is everyone in this fucking movie whispering?
Like, they are.
Okay, I didn't, because I was watching this literally in the silence of a psych hall unit, like, in the middle of the night, so, like, I'm like, do I just need to turn this up, or is, like, am I talking loud? Like, I'm just literally, like, why is no one speaking in a normal tone?
I turned up the sound at least, like, 5 times during this movie, and, like, I listen to things pretty quiet. You know me, I'm very sensitive to sound.
Oh, very much.
And, it was wild.
Yeah, it was so quiet. Like, I'm like, what? And what is the point
mumble,
of this?
Like, they're just gonna mumble.
Yeah, and they're like, I don't know, Bella. This. Okay, and then they're like,
then Jessica's talking. It's like, you guys, the zombie movies are like.
But like, she's talking like a normal actress in a normal movie. I love her. Like, is she mic'd and no one else is? Like, what the heck?
LOL,
like,
even, she's like, mic'd, if you know what I mean. Hey.
Oh, okay. So, like, and then they're like kissing in his car or her truck or whatever. I don't know. The moaning,
I think it was
that's happening.
His car?
Yeah. It's either, yeah, one of the two. So, like, the moaning happening is just, like, the whole thing. It's so uncomfy, and I'm so, like, I don't understand who thought this was necessary.
Yeah, who thought this was a good idea?
Yeah. Mm-mm. No one. No
if I
one.
Can't even hear them talk, I shouldn't be able to hear them moaning.
Their moaning was louder than their speaking voices. And like, holy cow, what is happening here?
Speaking of speaking voices, imagine hearing the weird kids that like sit behind you and make out in English class talk about how much they want to commit suicide, but like they can't because it's so difficult. Like, imagine being that girl sitting in front of them, being like, what the hell is happening behind
me? Well,
and
I feel like in, like, modern, like, in 2020, that girl would turn around and be like, are you okay? Like, maybe even 2009, but, like,
do you need to talk to someone?
Yeah, like, I think you really need to talk to someone, like, the counselor, like, because that's, which, like, is true. It's like you're talking about how, like, you're talking to your girlfriend about, like, oh, I really wish I could kill myself, but I can't. It's like, wait, what? Like,
it's ridiculous. It's like, oh, not okay. I also, he truly, like, shouldn't be talking about suicide. He looks like he's already dead. He looks like a corpse. And also, my note here is just how good Michael Sheen is. Like, he is so believable as a vampire, which, like, he shouldn't be as good in this shitty role as he is. But, like, he does
a
great job.
Because, like,
same
okay,
with Jane.
So the thing I know, Dakota. Yeah, no, exactly. Like, and the thing that I know Michael Sheen from the most was Masters of Sex. And, like, as a psychology person, the Masters and Johnson research is very important. Mm-hmm. And him as, like, Dr. Masters is, like, pretty fantastic. Like, he's just a great actor.
Yeah.
And, like, to see, and he's believable as a, you know, a research doctor. And, like, and then he's also believable as a vampire. And that is the kind of, you know, crossovers I need in my actors. Like, that's the depth that I need.
Yeah. I most notably know Michael Sheen because he's a big fan of the My Dad Wrote a Porno podcast, which is genuinely my favorite podcast. And
oh my God,
it's,
I could totally
it's
see
so
this
funny.
For him.
And
is
he
that still
like
happening?
Went on an episode with them. Yes, they're still doing episodes, but they only do like probably 15 episodes a year. They only do, like, one book a year, so they have sort of an on-season and an off-season. He's currently, I mean, I think he's, like, still writing. Like, he can still keep writing them. Originally, he wrote 3, and then while the first book was going, he started writing more because it was successful.
Have they ever had the dad?
People were buying it.
Have they ever had the dad on the show?
No. The way that they sort of communicate with them, because he doesn't want to give away his identity, like, he uses a fake name and stuff. I'm sure you could figure it out because the host, who's his son, like, uses his real name. But they did actually recently have the siblings, like, the daughter of the host. Anyway, but the way that they, like, communicate with him is, I think, once every season they'll do a side episode like they do with the celebrity interviews. They've had amazing celebrity interviews, like Emma Thompson, Michael Sheen, George Ezra.
Oh my God.
Like, lots of giant people that
huge
I'm
people, yeah,
fully forgetting to even talk about. But they will, like, send him an email with questions and then read his responses back.
Okay, that totally makes sense. See, and the thing that I liked, so I watched the Netflix special that they had.
And oh, like, I didn't even know that they had that.
Yeah. It's like a live show.
I thought it was an HBO special if they did.
Oh, it was HBO. You're right. Yeah.
I'm such a big fan. Special.
Yeah, no, and, like, I love the main guy, but, like, the other two people I don't love as much.
Oh, so, I love, like, all of them.
See, and, like, the main guy, I'm like, I could be, like, he reminds me a little bit of, like, a British Matt Belisai, but, like, better. So, like, and I love Matt Belisai. So, I mean, yeah. It's just.
I love Alice Levine so much. And it was so sad. I was watching season one of The Circle in the UK, and she's the host of season one, but she's not the host of season two. And I was like, aww. I started season two, and I was so sad. I was like, oh, my God, I'm so excited for Alice. Like, good for her that the show is taking off.
And like, replacing a host on a reality show, I feel like, is kind of a big thing. Like, in modern day, like, that's not something they do very often, you know? Yeah. Like, the big ones, that host is such a, like, has become such a big part of the show.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Back to Twilight.
Anyway, so then, is this? Yeah, it's my turn. The next day, the Cullen kids are noticeably absent from school, and Edward is waiting for Bella when she arrives home in the afternoon. Imagine getting home in the afternoon. Like, what a dream. He explains that their family is leaving Forks Forever, and he is breaking up with her.
I'm like, what are you talking about? Oh, okay. I get home in the morning. I get mad at rush hour traffic for making me take longer to get home.
Yeah.
Everybody's going to work. I'm like, get out of my way.
Yeah, you... Okay. Anyway, he asks her to not do anything reckless or get hurt for Charlie's sake, and in return, she will never see him again, as though he had never been a part of her life at all.
This is, like, the dumbest deal I've ever, like... ever heard. Yeah. Also, like, he makes it sound like he's gonna do some, like, Harry Potter or, like, Men in Black, like, that's spell he on her. Yeah, like, he's, like, acting like, oh, you'll, it's like, oh, I've never existed. I'm like, no, because I still have, like, memories. I've existed. But, like, also, I'm still, like, a human and I have memories, so, like, you can't just, like, disappear. Like, it doesn't work
it
like
doesn't
that.
It doesn't work that way.
Like, no, bro. Yeah.
He literally says, like, don't do anything reckless and you won't see me again, so take all those double negatives, and she interprets it as, oh, do something reckless, and then she will see him again.
But then also, it's like, okay, we'll get to that part. We'll get to that. Never mind.
So he kisses the top of her head and then disappears, and Bella collapses. She, like, chases off, after him for a while, but then eventually just collapses on the ground in the fetal position and remains there until Sam, a shirtless friend of Billy, weird, finds her and returns her to the search party that is looking for her, which actually does make sense, because earlier on, while she's, like, driving on the radio, you hear them talking about, like, three people that have disappeared from, like, animal attacks or something.
Well, no, it's... So that was not the point. The point was that, like... Can you finish, and then I'll explain my point.
It's not a great start to the whole, like, avoiding injury and reducing recklessness thing.
Exactly. So, like, the whole point of... He's like, okay, don't do anything reckless, or don't do anything reckless and be safe, and I'm gonna go. And then she, like, runs off into the middle of the woods and just, like, lays on the ground. Like, she would have, like, frozen to death, likely, overnight. Like... Mm-hmm. So that, like, and then there's a search party looking for her. It's like, okay, so she's going to be, like, on the news within 2 hours of his leaving, you know? Like,
yeah, and then he would have seen and come back.
Also, when Sam carries her back to the search party, no one thinks it's weird Sam's not wearing a shirt?
I think Charlie was like, what? But he was more concerned about, like, where his daughter was.
Yeah, no, totally. But I would have been like, what were you doing that you didn't need a shirt? Anyway. Okay.
I'm sure Billy, like, explained it away or something.
So, Robert Pattinson's definitely going to need some for real Botox between his eyebrows for the wrinkles from all this face scrunching he's doing in this movie. Damn, girl, get it together. Like, he has his, like, eyebrows scrunched together the whole movie.
Yeah, I didn't notice, but
oh my God, it drives me crazy because he has, like, a giant forehead, and he's just like, and he looks so tired. Like, the whole first part of this movie, he looks, like, exhausted.
He just looks dead. Like, I don't understand how anyone is like, oh my God, Robert Pattinson, like, so dreamy. Like, you good? Like, no.
And, like, it's so sad how, like, the exponentially more hot Jacob is in this, like, Taylor Lautner is so hot in this movie, that, like,
Once we get rid of the wig, like, pre-wig disposal, no, but, like, post, sure.
But if I saw a guy, even with a wig, like, walk up to me with, like, those abs and those teeth, I'd be like, we can cut your hair. Like, that's fine.
I wouldn't, I don't think I'd be able to look past the hair. It's so important.
So, like, Bella and Edward are in the middle of the damn woods, and they are still whispering to each other. Like, when is the volume going to get, like, regulated for this movie? Like, they need to, they needed to put microphones on these freaking people because, like, they are so quiet. Also, again, Sam is running around shirtless. Now, nobody thinks this is weird.
Yeah, no reason.
I thought it was weird because, like, I definitely, like, forgot all about Sam being a werewolf, so I'm just like, who is this guy and why does he not have a shirt on? Like, I was fully confused. It was very strange. And then when I'm like, oh, they'll explain when he, like, takes Bella up to, like, this group of the search party, and then they don't say anything about it. And I'm like, wait. No one thought that was weird? This is a normal Washington thing?
I don't know. All right. Okay, your turn. I already said my next point.
In the subsequent months, Bella falls into a deep depression. She isolates herself from her friends, sends countless unanswered emails to Alice, and experiences intense nightmares. Worried, her father, Charlie, threatens to send her to live with her mom in Jacksonville, Florida, and she promises to spend more time with friends instead. The next night, Bella goes to a movie with her friend Jessica and approaches some sketchy characters outside the theater. She realizes that when she does something dangerous, she has visions of Edward. Okay, hold on just a second. This is what I was talking about before, is, like, the, she's basically having these, like, really intense delusions, which, like, first of all, aren't real. Like, that doesn't happen. That's not how, like, full mental psychosis. Health works.
But, you know, Olivia, neither are vampires, so.
No, I know, but, like, all, like, that, like, psychosis isn't, like, when you want it to happen. Like, no. It's, like, actually the complete opposite. Yeah, so she has these, like, weird visions, and, like, this is something, I just want everyone to know, PSA, this is not how mental health works, and, like, you can't have, like, delusions that you, like, pick and choose when they happen, and, like, how, what they present as. Like, this is so inaccurate, but anyway, and, like, a little, I'm sorry, Charlie, a little sunshine is not going to make someone just better. That's not how it works either, but okay.
However, if there was any seasonal depression involved, like, maybe some vitamin D would have helped.
But clearly, that's not what this is, you know?
Anyway, it's very situational. Anyway, yeah, it's just completely. So unhealthy, and that can't be understated. If you're experiencing any depressive thoughts, if you see your vampire boyfriend next to you when he's not actually there, and he's instead in Rio de Janeiro getting wasted and just ripping his shirt, get some help.
Yeah, and, like, again, something that would have been so much better, instead of trying to ship off your difficult daughter to her mother, why not, like, suggest she go to a doctor? Because clearly something's wrong.
Yeah,
go to a
therapist.
Yeah, like, or, yeah, Charlie. Exactly. Like, a psychologist, psychiatrist, even at minimum, your primary care physician.
Maybe you talk to her.
Yeah, like, see if she needs to go to, like, a primary care physician and then get a referral for a psychiatrist. Because, like, this girl, something's wrong. Like, very wrong.
Yeah. It's very interesting to me that Bella's, like, biggest dream, like, everything that she wants is a murderous vampire. And her biggest recurring fear, because it was brought back from the first movie, is these, like, groups of regular biker men. They're, like, a little creepy, but, like, you know, regular men. Creepy.
Yeah.
So, I find it so interesting and kind of funny that that's the juxtaposition there. Also, I will say, Jessica's character very much reminds me of the Anna Kendrick character in Noelle.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think a lot of Anna Kendrick's characters run that similar line. Like, I'm not going to say she's not, like, typecast in general.
Yeah. She's not Pitch Perfect, though. She's such a cloud.
Yes, yeah.
Pitch Perfect. She's got a ray of sunshine here.
I was talking to a coworker the other day about her and Blake Lively in A Simple Favor. And
love
I was
it.
Like, honestly.
Oh, my God. When yes. I was listening to the Twilight episode, I was saying, like, I haven't seen A Simple Favor yet. I've seen A Simple Favor. It's incredible.
It's so good. And, like, Blake Lively is everything in anything she's in. She's just truly, like, she's such a goddess. But, like, also, I said, this is one of those movies I don't hate Anna Kendrick in because she, like, annoys the crap out of me in general. I appreciate her. I think she's so talented, but she just, in general, annoys me. But, like, in this character, it's, like, almost playing on that. Like, she's just, like, the most annoying.
It works. Like,
yeah, I loved it. Yes. I'm like, oh, my God, I love how annoying she is in this movie. Like, it's so perfect for her. I love this for her. And, like, it's almost, like, a better version of who she is in, like, as Jessica and as Noelle, you know? Like, I think... that character just fits her so perfectly. So I highly recommend A Simple Favor.
Yeah. But I also really like Jessica. Like, I think Jessica brings a lot here.
Totally.
Anyway, that's
well, and how she, when, like, oh, yeah, okay, your next point is, like,
another exactly funny line from Anna Kendrick is, from Jessica, excuse me, is when she says, Bella, you can't just go get on some random dude's motorcycle, some random loser's motorcycle, when she's, like, looking at the motorcycle gang and walking over, and Anna Kendrick is just like, that's a bad idea, like, what the hell is wrong with you? And then Bella proceeds to get on Jacob's motorcycle.
Well, she really takes it to heart, and she goes, she's like, I can't just go get on some random loser's motorcycle, I'll just go buy my own. So that's what she does.
Honestly, like, I feel like Jessica, good for you.
Jessica is the only person living in the real world in this movie. Like, Jessica is the only person who's just like, no, you can't do that. Like, that's weird.
I think, like, all we need of someone to say, teens...
this is weird.
All of the other teens are, like, fairly normal that aren't vampires or Bella, but I think Jessica's just the one in this movie who's in it the most.
I mean, Mike, like, was throwing up at a movie theater over, like, a zombie movie, so no. I think, like, okay. Jessica's the only one, and she has no filter either, so she's, like, the one who's saying what, she's saying what the audience is thinking, for sure. Hoping to sustain her visions, Bella salvages two dirt bikes and enlists Jacob to help her get them in working condition. The two begin spending lots of time together, and Bella notices her pain beginning to subside. Jacob mentions that several of his, I don't know how to say this, Quileute, friends have changed and began following Sam. They are able to get the bikes running, and Bella immediately crashes, so Jacob puts the kibosh on that activity.
But which is not, like, I feel before, like, taking a shirt off.
No, totally. But, like, also, is no one thinks it's weird that, like, if I spent all these months and, like, crashed the first second, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to put a helmet on this next time, and then we're going to, like, do this again. Because, no. Like, I put all this time and effort into doing something. I'm not just going to quit.
Nah.
Bella's a quitter.
Yeah. I think it's funny how in book one, we get names like Jessica, Mike, Jacob, and then in book two, we get Embry and Quill.
Well, I think they're what is it?
Quileute.
They're Quileute. They're supposed to be Native American.
Yes, but names. What about Jacob?
Oh, I don't know.
Your logic does not work because we have Jacob.
Well, yeah, and Sam, but I guess Sam is supposed to be short for, like, Samuel, or I don't know, okay?
Anyway, just thought it was interesting. Bella starts reintegrating herself into her old human friend group at school, and Mike invites her to the movies, and then she invites everyone else to the movies with them. The night of, everyone bails except for Jacob and Mike, because they both want to go out with her, and then Mike gets, like, he starts puking, because he can't handle a zombie movie, and then... while that's happening, Jacob asks Bella to be more than friends, and she turns him down, but he tells her that he won't give up trying. Keep in mind, it's been, like, months at this point since Edward left, and she's been hanging out with Jacob.
That's okay. I've been seeing a guy for 5 months, and we're not together, so I know how she feels.
That's interesting. Tell me more about that later. Okay. So he then becomes inexplicably angry, and seemingly has a very high fever, causing him to abruptly leave. Billy tells Bella that Jacob has mono, but after several days, she suspects that he's avoiding her. She drives to his house and finds him perfectly healthy with a fresh tattoo and a haircut, running around shirtless in the pouring rain, which you probably shouldn't do if you have mono. After a brief confrontation, he tells her that they can no longer be friends because he will, quote, hurt her, where have we heard this before? And then he runs off into the woods with Sam and his Quileute gang. I don't know if this will make sense to you, Olivia, because I don't think you've watched Succession.
No.
But the character of Mike really gives me Cousin Greg vibes. So if you're trying to picture Mike when we're talking about it and you've seen Succession, but like you don't remember who Mike is, first of all, why are you listening to this? And second of all, just picture Cousin Greg.
Yeah, I feel like Mike is such like... Like, obviously, they make him not super likable, but he's just such, like, a little twerp. Yeah. I feel bad for whoever had to play him, whoever that kid is.
I don't know. Exactly. I feel bad for him, but I don't know him. Also, one of the things I don't think we've mentioned yet, we're doing, like, a twofer recording session. So we're recording this, and we're also recording Go Figure. And I think this movie is cringier than Go Figure, and that's saying a lot, because Go Figure is a very cringy movie. Also, excuse me, I burped.
No, totally. I agree. I think this movie is like more like awkward and weird than like Go Figure has such like a like fluffy vibe to it where like this movie just does not at all. It just is meant to make you sad, apparently.
Yeah, also a weird random blonde guy that likes the character for some reason. Another interesting recurring thing in this movie is they have gone to the movies, in case you were keeping track, 3 times in this movie. And I think, honestly, it's a very accurate portrayal of a... What are you doing?
Sorry, my nail, like, snapped. Okay. Pretty bad.
It's a very accurate portrayal of a small town because the only thing to do is go to the movies.
Yeah, and a lot of, like, all zombie movies, which is weird.
Yeah, and they keep seeing terrible movies, which is, you know, a little bit of self-awareness from a terrible movie.
Well, and I think is also, like, teenager thing to do. Like, it's something that, like, you can't go to, like, the bars and stuff, so
yeah, and you're not going to a movie because you think it's going to be good. You're going to a movie because you think there's nothing else to do.
Exactly.
So,
So, Bella hikes to the meadow that she and Edward used to hang out in, and she finds Laurent is already there.
Cool.
He's about to... What?
Cool.
Oh, yeah. No, totally. Like, what a bad timing you have.
Olivia, quick question. Who's Laurent, just in case people don't remember?
So, Laurent is from the first movie. He was friends with Cam Gigadent's character, as well as Victoria, but really plays no significant role.
He's the one who wears a blazer with no shirt and has dreadlocks.
Yes. Oh, also, I think he does end up being, like, befriending the whole family in the later movies, right?
He's not the worst.
But he does want to kill her right now.
Yeah.
So, he's about to kill Bella when a pack of gigantic wolves appears and attack him. Bella eventually discovers that Jacob, Sam, and a few other... you're going to have to just say it for me. Quileute?
Sorry, Quileute.
Quileute boys are actually shapeshifters who can phase into the giant wolves. All right. Jacob, sometimes I reread my own writing and I'm like, wow, I'm funny. Jacob wasn't allowed to tell Bella his secret because he must obey the Alpha, or Sam's, orders. She learns that all the pack members hear each other's thoughts and that their job is to protect their tribe from vampires. It's a very niche thing that they have to do.
You got one job.
Yeah. Don't, like, protect your people from anything else.
Well, that's the whole reason why they, like, appear is because there are vampires in the town. Like, they don't appear unless there are vampires.
Yeah. So, which, like, I could see some,
which,
like,
is really... why, like, Billy doesn't know and stuff like that.
Well, and I feel like why, like, Jacob probably has this, like, really long-standing resentment towards Edward. Like, because, like, my life wouldn't be this way if it wasn't for you, you know? Yeah. Like, you guys fucked up everybody's lives here.
Mm-hmm. At least in the beginning. I'm basically on steroids.
Yeah. At least in the beginning. So Jacob lets her know that they are hunting Victoria, who has returned to exact revenge by killing Bella. An eye for an eye, etc.
First, I need to say, while you were trying to say Quileute, my mic was muted because I was eating a cracker, and that's why I came back and I was like, my mouth was full. I was like,
oh, okay.
It was bad timing. I was like, this is a long paragraph that Olivia's reading. I'm safe to eat a cracker.
I'm sorry.
It's 8:18 and I haven't had dinner yet.
I'm sorry.
So, lonely once again, Bella resumes her thrill-seeking by jumping off a cliff, which we see earlier Sam is doing with Embry and Quill. And she almost drowns. But luckily, Jacob rescues her. And then when they get back to her house, Alice is there waiting. And she's just returned because she had a vision of what she thought was Bella killing herself. Because she probably saw it through, like, Jacob's eyes. And she just sees Bella jumping off a cliff and doesn't see the water that Bella would have seen. Anyway. Despite not technically being allowed to harm the Cullens, Jacob follows Bella inside in an effort to protect her. Just before he's about to kiss Bella, Jacob answers a phone call from Edward and makes a remark that Charlie is planning a funeral. Edward takes this as a confirmation of Bella's death, crushes his phone in the shadow of Christ the Redeemer in Rio, and decides to go to Italy, enacting his previous suicide mission without even time to change his shirt. Like, does this guy run? Does he get on a plane? I think he probably runs from Rio to Italy, notoriously, like, fully different sides of the planet. And, like, different hemispheres in both ways. Like,
wait, how would he run? He can't, like, run on water. I think he gets on a plane.
I feel like they could.
Because they get on a plane.
Okay. Well, anyway. I think they get on a plane because Alice isn't out here trying to, like, carry Bella the whole way. But maybe he gets on a plane. Anyway, you wouldn't want to sit next to this dude who's, like, he's wearing this, like, ripped-up t-shirt. Like, he would be pulled out by TSA. They'd be like, no, sir, how did you afford this ticket?
Yeah, I feel like also it'd be, like, super awkward to sit next to Edward on a plane just because he's just, like, so awkward to begin with.
Just horrible.
The Volturi, so his previous suicide mission was to go to Italy and have the Volturi kill him, basically. Mm-hmm. So the Volturi, once he gets there, the Volturi refuse to kill Edward, so he decides to reveal himself as a vampire to an entire festival of people. Alice and Bella immediately fly to Italy to save him, arriving just in time. He is instantly relieved and explains to her that he had lied about not wanting to be with her in an effort to protect her, but now realizes this is futile and promises to never leave her again. The Volturi summon Alice, Edward, and Bella to meet with them, and they discover that Bella is immune to each of their special powers. The Volturi decide that Bella must die because she is a human and knows too much. However, Alice steps in and shows Arrow, the King Volturi, that Bella will soon become a vampire, so they spare her.
So one of the things that happens when they're going to, like, the Volturi lair is they're going up these stairs and everything is super, like, ancient and old. And then they get into an elevator.
Very chic modern elevator, too.
It was just so funny to me, like, all of them piling into this elevator, no one talking, all facing the same way, like, not looking at each other, and then piling out. It was just, there was a little bit of comedy there to me in, like, them having to get into an elevator that really broke the tension for me.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, quick question. What would your special vampire power be? So they sort of each of the vampires usually, I guess, get this, like, special power. And it's something that they're, like, a little bit good at as a human, and then it gets fully amplified when they become a vampire. So, Olivia, what would yours be?
I don't know. Okay, I mean, I'm trying to think, like, so something I feel like I'm really good at as a person is, like, especially with psych patients, is being able to communicate with people in the way that they need, like, being able to, like, if someone's, like, really angry.
Individualize for each person.
Yeah, exactly. Like, in communicating on someone's, like, level, and also, like, not, like, escalating situations, like, keeping people, like, calm in certain situations that could be, mm-hmm. like, that some people are just not that great at. So, I don't know. I think, like, similar to, like, a Jasper situation, like, being able to, like, control people's, like, emotional outbursts kind of things. Like, to, like, soothe a room, I guess you could say, is, yeah. I think... Maybe? I don't know. Which is, like, not that cool. Like, no. I want it to be, like, to read people's minds, because that'd be fucking awesome.
For me, I thought that I I like fully forgot that I put this in the notes, so this just came to me now, but I was talking earlier about my super sensitive hearing, and I'm like, wow, I would be like supersonic hearing if I was a vampire.
Oh,
I'd be able
to
like
totally.
Do dolphin sonar or something.
Yeah, I think you would be able to like hear someone like coming like very far in advance kind of thing.
Yeah.
Totally.
Maybe.
I agree.
But yeah, still probably cooler to like read people's minds or influence their thoughts.
Yeah, like if if I could pick any of them, it would definitely be to like read people's minds. But you know, that's not what I'm good at normally. So
no. Cool. So is it my turn or is it your turn? I forgot.
It's your turn.
Okay. So they all return to Forks, and Edward again explains to Bella that the only reason he left in the first place was to protect her, and he promises to never leave her again. Just full,
this has to be
like,
reiterated 150 times, because Bella, which, like, if, I mean, like, the only, like, normal thing about this movie is, like, I'd be like, okay, you're gonna have to tell me 1,000 times that you're never gonna leave me again, because you're a liar.
Yeah. But, yeah, never mind.
You just tell me you love me constantly.
Just constant affirmation.
Exactly.
The entire Cullen family meet and vote if they should change Bella into a vampire, because the last time they all met up, it went so well. yeah. With the exception of Rosalie and Edward, they all vote yes. On the drive home, Jacob stops them in the middle of the road to remind Edward of the Cullen's treaty with the Quileute tribe/werewolves that will be broken if they bite a human. Bella tells Jacob that it is her choice to become a vampire. It's a woman's right to choose, Jacob. It's very important. Edward finally agrees to turn Bella with the one condition that she marry him first. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah. Fade to black.
Yeah. Kind of badass that they, like, smash Edward into the marble and the marble breaks. I think this was probably for a previous paragraph, but it was like, wow, they, like, throw him into a marble set of stairs, and, like, he doesn't break, the marble breaks. Like, vampires are like cornstarch. You can see his skin move when he hugs Bella, but, like, he can wrecking ball fully through marble. Interesting.
I appreciate your, what is it? Not a metaphor.
Sure.
So
it's a simile because I used the word like.
That's what it was. That's it. So also, oh my god, what are you doing?
Is it okay if you come in there?
No, I'm recording.
Oh,
okay.
You're welcome.
Goodbye. You're welcome. Hi, Bebe. Say hi to Miranda.
Hi, Brody. Okay. I miss you so much.
Oh. Okay. No. Brody. Out. Go.
Oh my god, I'm
You're
crying. This is so funny.
Go! Out! Come! Oh my god. Brody, go!
Do I miss him? I don't know.
Hold on. Bro, go! Get out! Go!
Brody, come!
Go!
I tried to tell you I was recording, but you were asleep.
I know.
I tried to tell you I was recording, but you were asleep.
Oh my god, they're still working on this. Okay.
Wow.
He listens so well. Okay.
How old is Brody?
He's 5.
He should probably listen by now.
You know, he's not that bad. he just, like, gets excited, you know.
Sure.
You know how he is. Okay, so also, honestly, Taylor Lautner's, like, acting skills when he's, like, put up against Kristen Stewart, it, like, only impresses me more. Like, she's just so bad, and he's, like, not a bad actor. That's the thing. It's, like, he's not bad. He has these, like, really emotional scenes, and, like, he does really well with them, and, like, it's very compelling, and then she's just, like, breaks it. Like,
I don't think any of them are particularly, like, super bad actors. Like, this
Kristen Stewart is a super bad actress.
I think they just made really weird choices, which maybe that makes them a bad actor, but still, like, I think it's just, I don't know, like, inexperience or something, but I don't know. I haven't seen her in anything recently, but I feel like Kristen Stewart's much better now, no?
I would hope so. I mean, Jesus, what has
she been
doing?
I feel like Robert Pattinson's better now, Kristen Stewart, etc. But, like, Robert Pattinson, like, he got cast in Harry Potter. You can't be that bad.
Yeah, but he was only in one Harry Potter, and, like,
that's true. And he had an expiration date.
Yeah, for sure. They were like, he's not here forever.
So, now that we're done, who's your character to keep an eye on?
I think it has to be for me.
I think it might be the same.
I mean, actually, mine's Jacob.
Oh, okay.
Just because
mine's
he's just the glow up is Okay. Jacob's glow up is just too good.
Yeah. Sure. It's fair. Amazing. And how do you rate this movie?
I rate it, honestly, I liked it better than, so I went back to the original Twilight, and I gave it, hold on, I don't even remember now, I gave it a 2.5, and I liked this one, a little bit better, but not, like, a ton, so I gave it a 3.
I have exactly the same thing. I gave the other one a 3, I'm giving this a 3.5, because I liked it slightly more.
All right, so 3.25.
Yeah.
Not, like, bad, actually.
No, really, what else have we given about a 3.25, Olivia? I always ask you this question, and you're never prepared, but what is, like, okay, another movie
so the
that
other
is also 3.25s
were, so we're Hocus Pocus, but that's because I rated it a 4.5 and you gave it a 2. My Date with the President's Daughter, same ratings as this one. Yeah, 3.25.
I liked that one.
Model Behavior, which, again, yeah, same as this one, 3.5 and 3, which I agree with. Like,
honestly, yeah.
3.25 for Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants.
Yeah.
2, not the first one, the second
okay.
one.
Sure.
And A Cinderella Story and Aquamarine.
That's fine. We can stop now.
Monsters, Inc., 13 Going on 30.
We can stop now.
Love Actually. Oh, so my God, that's so sad. I thought Love Actually. Not that good. Oh, no, not Love Actually. I was thinking of The Holiday. My bad.
Oh.
And Anastasia.
Okay. Yeah, we liked The Holiday. We did not like Love Actually.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Honestly, like Love, all of those are pretty much in line with how I feel about Twilight. Like, there's none of those movies that I'm like, what, how? But yeah, that's.
Like, if someone wants to watch them, I'm not going to be like, no, absolutely not. But, like,
but I won't
also,
be, like, real. I'll be a little bit, like, really? Like, do we have
yeah,
to?
Yeah, it's, like, one. It's like, okay, I'll watch it. It's, like, a very, like, eh, movie. Like, a meh. But, like, I'm not upset about it.
That's also a fun list of, if you are listening for another podcast to listen to, now that you're done with this one, that's another list of movies that we've talked about. We've talked about a kind of ridiculous number of movies at this point. So, with that in mind, we have many other episodes for you to listen to.
It looks like
to.
80.
We have quite a back catalog. It's wild.
Yeah, it looks like we're sitting around 79-80 right now.
Yeah, every time I, like, go on our SoundCloud and look at our stats, I'm like, how did that many people download it? And then I realize, oh, we have a back catalog of 75-80 episodes. Like, that's how people listen to it. And
yeah,
plus
but,
the mini-sodes.
Yes, the mini-sode.
TBT.
Yeah. TBT. TBD on the return of the
TBT
to
when we had time. We do not have
time
anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, so true. But yeah, anyway.
So yeah, thank you so much. Our website's tbtamp.com, and then you can rate and review on the podcast app, like the girl who did. I don't remember her name. Might not have been a girl. I don't know you. Sorry. And then, but it was really nice. Thank you.
It was KRAN143.
Cool. Karen.
Oh my God, Karen! Okay.
No, I don't know a Karen, but like maybe that's you. Or it's
I mean, I know a Karen, but she
K-ran.
Definitely doesn't spell it like that. So it's like Keyran. Okay. Also, follow our Instagram at TBT Podcast.
Yeah, do it. We haven't posted on there in a while, but maybe we will soon. And then also tell a friend about the show. It really helps us grow, and we appreciate it. That gives us more incentive to keep making episodes and make an effort to put this all together.
Yeah, because it's not easy.
It truly is not easy. Being Mac is cheesy. Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Bye.
See ya when we see ya. Goodbye.
Bye.